Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, the podcasters, and everybody else in between. Let's do this thing as we kickstart another week of the evolution of the Rage Illusion. Countdown to college football is officially on. And I got to tell you, I got football fever right now. We're less than 3 weeks away from the start of the college football campaign. NFL preseason began with a very impressive performance from Trey Lance and the Los Angeles Chargers in the Hall of Fame game. CFL football, we're in the midst of one of the more interesting and wild CFL campaigns in recent memory. The season is just on cruise control. It's just, you know, cruising along right now. We got a ton of baseball stuff to get to and a bunch of other loose ends to hit. Cam Stewart in the house, Mo Khan in the house. George Kurtz will step up and in, but we'll bring the Raging Redhead Cam Stewart in. Cam, good to see you. How you doing on this Monday afternoon?
Can't lie, Morenci. Some of my sides in the CFL went down the toilet, but the totals were pretty good. I'm glad I hit that under in that Montreal game. I didn't see the Alouettes getting smoked like that, but some good news out of Montreal. Mboka, the tennis player. And I'll tell you something, man, watching this girl, she takes out the top seed in Coco Gauff. This Montreal tournament's been great, Gabe. I'm really into the tennis right now. And she lives in Burlington by way of Montreal. And right now she's minus 320 in her next match. I actually think she could win the whole damn thing. Great story about Canadian tennis. She's on fire.
And Cameron Young wins his first ever PGA event over the weekend as well. Did you have any action on Cameron Young?
Just a little bit, Gabe. I had him in a matchup bet in a top 20. Wish we had more. Cameron Young becomes the 1,000th unique winner on the PGA Tour as well. So if somebody asks you a trivia question, who was number 1,000? It's Cam Young. Gabe, we've been betting this guy for a couple of years, finishing second in majors, loves links golf. And it was just wild this week. He just basically took the lead and never took back. He had an 8-shot lead heading into the final round, and he wasn't going to be caught. He's been so close before, so good for Cameron Young to break through and made an interesting case for the Ryder Cup with a win like that.
Now, George Kurtz is going to step up and in later. And, George knows a lot about the NFL, knows a lot about the NHL, knows a lot about Major League Baseball, and that's where his knowledge starts to get kind of like after. Although, you know, I'm busting his balls a little bit.
You are.
Kurtz does, like, watch things, and he does know things. But Kurtz likes, like, action movies and stuff. Like, Kurtz knows, like, Steven Seagal movies. But, of course, we've always been blown away by the fact that Kurtz is a lifelong New Yorker who has never seen an episode of Seinfeld before. And the fact that Kurtz is a New York Yankee fan just sort of, like, dumbfounds me on top of it. Like, I don't know. I don't watch the show Friends, but whatever. Seinfeld's different just because, like I said, it was such like a New York type of show. And the second, like, you know, the second half of the show, like year like 5 to 9 or whatever, every episode had some sort of Yankee reference in it. So I'm wondering if Kurtz is going to know about WKRP. But I say that Kurtz did watch WKRP. And a lot of the casts have already passed on WKRP, but unfortunately, Lonnie Anderson has joined them. Jennifer, the secretary on WKRP, and man, she was good. Like, great, great actress. Like, she really played the role perfectly. Like, she wasn't a bimbo in real life. She wasn't really a bimbo on that show. Like, she ran the station. That's what made it interesting, that she was supposed to be the bimbo, but she was actually the smartest one in the room all the time. Married to Burt Reynolds at one point in real life, actually. But Lonnie Anderson, one of the quintessential bombshells of the, you know, the 80s. And there was always the sort of like the Gilligan's Island debate. There was always the Jan Smithers or Lonnie Anderson debate. Both great, but rest in peace to Lonnie Anderson and one of the greatest shows of all time, WKRP. It really was. It really pushed the envelope. So I look forward to asking Kurtz. I'll put Kurtz on the WKRP hot seat, the trivia seat, a little bit later. Everyone talks about the turkey episode. That was good. Oh, I thought turkeys could fly. It was funny, and that was, well, you know, one of the classic episodes, but there were so many other ones, and good sports references, too. There was the episode where Sparky Anderson, Cincinnati Reds manager Sparky Anderson, got fired by the Reds, and WKRP went all big, and they got a syndicated radio deal, and they hired Sparky Anderson, and he was terrible at it, and it was really funny. Sparky, like, he was like, I'm Sparky Anderson. I'll never forget. Let's go to the phone lines. And the lines light up. Hi, Sparky. I'm calling about the free tickets to the Gary Glitter concert. And, like, they have to fire Sparky Anderson because he's such a bad radio host. That I was telling him, you know, you watch it. It's like, hey, see, it's not that easy. And he even said, I always thought it was going to be easy, but it really isn't. And he gave his World Series rings to Les and not Mr. Carlson after. Great episode. Like I said, there's so many great episodes. All right, so rest in peace to Lonnie Anderson. Let's bring in our boy Mo Khan right now from Montreal. Good to see you, Mo. How you doing?
I'm well, guys. You know, football's here. College football is not far away. You know, Dallas Cowboys acting like clowns again. And the NFL's back, right? So can't wait to get into those two sports along with the CFL and many other sports as well.
Yeah, I can't believe what's going on in Dallas. I would say we should believe it, but it's amazing how they screw up a sunny day in the Big D somehow. And Kurtz is actually a Cowboy fan too, so we'll get his take on that later. But we're less than 3 weeks away from the start of the college football season. Now, the media days are in the past. And Mike Elko, Texas A&M head coach, Mo, at the SEC media days was asked, how many teams do you think can win the national championship this year? And he said 4 or 5. And they asked other coaches in the SEC the same question. Kalen DeBoer, Alabama head coach, said he thinks there's like 8 teams that can win the national championship this year, Mo. I'll ask you, what ballpark do you think is closer? Are there like 4 or 5 teams that you legitimately think could win the national championship this year, or are there more, 8 or more teams do you think that could win the championship this year?
I think last year showed us that the underdog teams can make noise, right? The Arizona States came in there and nearly took out Texas, all that stuff that came out with what happened in that situation. But I think this year there's more stability of how teams are being built up here, right? We got Clemson, that could be the team in that category. Georgia, we don't know what they're going to do with the quarterback position. You think about Ohio State, what they're going to be this year under a new quarterback direction that they have. You think about even the dark horse teams, maybe a Florida or Miami, whatever it is at that point. Texas, I think, is probably the best and most loaded team right now coming into week 1 or week 0 of the college football season. So really, I think there's probably 3-4 tops that I think are surefire best to beat in the playoffs and probably have the higher percentage points to get to that point in late January to win that national title.
I'd like to say that there's like 12 teams that can win. And I almost kind of believe that there is this year, but in all actuality, there's a difference between getting there and then actually winning a bunch of times, right? And it seems like it's kind of the same teams all the time that do it, but there are a lot of really good teams this year. And oftentimes, guys, when you look at the top of the college football,
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Futures list. It's sort of like, you think like in past years was like, man, Georgia probably don't lose. It was more like, wow, they're going to be really tough to beat. Or Alabama's only going to lose one game. And we know, you know, it's sort of the same teams. Ohio State are going to be there, etc. This year, though, guys, a lot of these top teams have question marks, right? Like Texas. Okay. Everybody wants to give this to Texas. Texas don't have some sort of winning pedigree. Like they find ways not to win as well. They haven't won since Vince Young was their quarterback. People want to give Arch Manning the Heisman now. They want to say Texas are going to roll through the SEC. Texas are going to win the national championship. They open up with Ohio State. They're both 5-1. Ohio State are stacked. They're loaded. But they're not as stacked and loaded as they were last year. And they have a new quarterback. They have a lot of new things in place right now. There are question marks about this Ohio State football team. Penn State's the second choice. Ohio State and Texas guys are both +500. Penn State are 7-1. James Franklin's got to beat Ohio State. He's got to beat Michigan. Like, he's got to beat big-time teams, something that Penn State have not done in the past. But everything lines up perfectly for Penn State this year at 7-1. But I have a hard time buying into Penn State and running to the window to bet on them. You brought up Georgia, Mo. Always going to be dangerous. They got Stockton, who's like 32 years old, a quarterback again. But they're not the same Georgia teams. Like they kind of peaked a couple of years ago. They couldn't maintain that dominance. The Ducks and the Georgia are +750. Oregon are 9-1. Yeah, let's see what Dante Moore does. I don't want to hold it against the kid, but if he was so good, I don't know why he hasn't played in 3 years, right? So okay, let's see what he does and he takes this program over. But I think this is a little lofty. I don't fully trust the Ducks at 9-1. So you see where I'm going here, guys. There's a lot of question marks this year. And Mo, you remember you and I debated, and I was on Team Clemson to make the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
This year, I'm on Team Clemson to maybe win it all. They're 11-1. They're going to the playoffs. That's a stone cold lock. I think Kate Klubnik is going to be in the Heisman Trophy mix. Their game with LSU is massive to open up the season, but they're 11-1. Bama are 12-1. And I don't really fully buy into Bama, guys, even though they got 14 returning starters. Notre Dame, I'm not buying into because of the quarterback situation. Not saying they're not going to be in the playoffs, but I'm just saying, like, whoa, they're dominant. LSU are going to score 40 points a week, but will they give up 43 points a week is the question. I don't really trust them 14-1. Ole Miss are overrated all the time, 25-1. Screw them. I think Michigan are underrated at 28-1. You see, Cam, there's, like, to me,
yep.
There's not that, like, oh, yeah, that team is unbeatable and they're going to be tough to beat. Like, everybody thinks Texas is that team that can't be beat. But I think they're all pretty much damn even, to be honest with you.
I agree, Gabe. And remember, the Oregon Ducks, they're a good team. But when they face real competition, like in the Rose Bowl, Ohio State kicked the living crap out of them. So that's a team in a big game I wouldn't trust. And I love your Clemson angle. Think about it. The ACC is a conference that they can run. You got that 11-1 ticket in your pocket. And I do believe they can get to the championship game. And then you could take it from there. Texas, what do we know about Texas, Gabe? You want to bet these guys? These guys lost to Washington. They lose big games all the time. Asking them that game, they could lose to Ohio State there. So I don't really trust them. Other numbers, Penn State, I need more if I'm going to deal with them, and they're in a tougher conference than Clemson. So I can't believe right now I'm on my FanDuel account, and there's nine teams under 20-1 with LSU at 17-1 right now. So yeah, it is wide open, and Michigan's next in the 10-hole at 35-1. Good price for them. But I'll tell you, Gabe, I love your Clemson angle because of the conference they play in.
Oh, they're going to be in the playoffs. Almost like stone cold lock, they're going to be in the playoffs. But Mo, they're Clemson are really loaded this year. Four of their five offensive linemen are back, starting offensive linemen. Their top three wide receivers are back. You can argue, Mo, they have the best defensive line in college football. Like defensively, we know they're studs, right? Dabo Sweeney got criticized for not attacking the transfer portal, Mo, more. And he said, I don't need to transfer portal. I recruit good players, and we teach players to play here. this team, this unit is sort of stuck together. And as a betting man, out of all these teams, like just for from the odds perspective, I would take Clemson at 11-1, Mo. Who would you like? Who do you think? Do you think Texas are going to live up to the hype? Who do you think is going to take? Give us a team you think wins a national championship. I'm going to say the Clemson Tigers, and I don't say this because I'm a Michigan fan, but 28-1 for Michigan is ridiculous. Like that, and Michigan's schedule is very manageable this year. People are underestimating what Underwood is going to bring to the table. 28-1 is just stupid. And Michigan to make the playoffs at +215, I like. But who's a team you like, Mo?
Well, like right now, Clemson, the only team that might give them run is Miami, right, with Carson Beck and what they did through transport. But don't forget, Dabo did.
And they don't play each other. It should be noted. They don't play each other this year.
Right, and Dabo did dip into the portal for one or two players. And one guy he brought back who looked at the portal and said, I'll come back to you, no problem here. But I just think right now for Clemson, the biggest thing for Clemson coming into this year, you know, and Gabe, you and I, we spoke about this last August, is he ready to take that next step? I think he is now, right? I think he's matured as a quarterback and got more comfortable because in his first year and a half or so, he did not look like a NCAA ACC quarterback. But now coming into this year where the schedule is aligned perfectly for Clemson to run the table here at 11-1, no question, that's the bet to watch out for. But I'll give you a dark horse team to look out, guys, this year. Illinois. Look at Illinois last year and what they did, right? They brought back over 80% of their returning starters from both sides of the football here. They get Ohio State, and they get one more tough game on that schedule. Besides that, they could get to 10 wins and be in the playoff as well. I'm not saying they'll be the Indiana here, but they definitely are a team to watch out for in the Big Ten. Illinois can make some noise under what Brett Bielema has built.
They're 190-1 on my book, Gabe.
Well, watch out.
That's well, a good bet. I've been talking about him, Cam. He's right. And
yep.
They could be this year's Indiana in a different way, though, right? Well, like last year, Indiana was Indiana because of their offense.
Yeah.
Illinois, not an explosive offense, but with that being stated, Altmaier's better than people realize. We're talking about a quarterback that has a lot of experience, only 6 interceptions last year, 23 touchdowns. They play very good defense, similar situation. Bielema is building his system, and he's got the same guys. Like, they're a hungry football team. They have a great defense. I'm down with Illinois, too. I think they are that Big Ten dark horse this year. All right, we'll get to some pro football as well, but speaking of Miami and speaking of Notre Dame, that's a big-time showcase showdown on August the 30th. We got some big-time games on the second Saturday of the season, including LSU and Clemson. Clemson now currently laying 3.5 total, 57.5. The Michigan Wolverines are up to 36.5 point favorites against the New Mexico Lobos. But don't be critical of Michigan for playing New Mexico in week one. They go to Norman, Oklahoma in week two on the road, which that's going to be a tough task. But what about that? What about the Notre Dame and the Miami game that is actually on the Sunday of the 30th weekend? So it's a Sunday, that showcase Sunday night game that they like to do. Notre Dame and Florida. You got Virginia Tech and South Carolina guys on that Sunday too. Pretty badass Sunday sked. Love to see it. But Mo, you're the Miami, Florida guy. They're 2-point underdogs against Notre Dame. And Carson Beck, I speak with NFL, Rick Saratella. We talk about the NFL draft. He's the founder of the NFL Draft Bible. And he's on top of the draft stuff, Mo and Cam. And he saw the NFL scouts consensus ratings coming into this year about who they think is the best NFL suited quarterback. And guys, believe it or not, Mo is still Carson Beck. So Carson Beck gets another opportunity here to showcase himself. Notre Dame, Miami, who you got in week one?
Leaning towards Notre Dame right now. I think Miami lost a lot of firepower. I want to know how their defense is going to be this year under new direction, right? Because they got blasted. You think about it, Gabe and Cam, if they had some sort of semblance of a defense last year, they're in the playoffs. They probably have more of a competitive edge to win and go deep in the playoffs of last year, but they couldn't stop a beach ball for their life. I think now this year for Eric Cristobal is, look, he brought in Cam Ward last year. They're not expecting him to be Cam Ward, but they just wanted to be an adequate, above-average quarterback to make sure this offense is fluent and flowing in certain games here. And Notre Dame's got a good defense, guys. People don't realize, though, this ND defense has been playing tough nose football under Marcus Freeman since he became head coach 3 years ago. So I just think that in this situation right now for how it's been built up, I think there's less questions about Notre Dame right now coming to week one of their game against Miami in South Florida. So give me ND to win that football game outright.
Man, does the college football season start with a bang this year. You got the Iowa State, K-State stuff in Dublin, but the following week, guys, is just awesome football games, and which leads us into the National Football League. Okay, so quickly on the NFL, then we'll get Mo's take on the CFL, and we'll bring George Kurtz in. Mo, we opened up the show talking briefly about the circus that is the Dallas Cowboys training camp right now. Listen, we've seen this before. The Cowboys are known for waiting and drawing it out. And it's like Jerry Jones likes to play hero right before the season starts, but he always ends up costing himself more money. Yet now this is getting uglier because of just the comments and the pot shots. Now Dez Bryant is involved in this, and Jay-Z and Roc Nation. And let's just call it out for what it is. Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones, they think they're bigger than any player, and they think that it's an honor to play for that football team right now. But they're going to find out it isn't, and that people don't care. You know, Micah Parsons, man, this guy would have died for them before, Mo, and now he's alienated them. But we've seen this in the past. How do you think it plays out?
He signs with them. He will. He'll get his money. Jerry botched it again, like he did with CD and Dak and others before him, where he'll wait last second, like a last-minute cram session for an exam, and sign the guy probably $12 million more than what he could have done maybe back in January, February, before the big contracts went to Max Crosby and T.J. Watt, and of course, with Myles Garrett. But I think, remember, guys, 94. Remember what happened that year? Emmett held out. They went 0-2. Charles Haley, Michael Irvin, and others said, bleep and sign Emmett, get him back in the lab. We know what happened afterwards. He won the Lombardi Trophy again. So I just think for Parsons, yes, he'll get his money. Is he willing to sit out and cost himself money if he doesn't want to play this year and become a left bell? I don't think that's going to happen. But I just think at the end of the day, we all know how the Cowboys operate. Right? They love headlines. They love being front and center for ESPN.com and Fox Sports and every other network across America and North America for that matter. As long as Jerry gets the headlines, he knows he's relevant as a discussion point for all pundits, whether you're a pro or amateur analyst, watch the NFL.
Yeah, you know what, though, with Jerry Jones? There's a big difference between people who are, like, talking about you or laughing at you. And that's what it's become. Like, nobody's ever talking about the Cowboys in a positive light or Jerry Jones in a positive light right now. It's just negative. And if he thinks, like, okay, if you want the attention that badly, it's pretty pathetic. But, guys, if you're the Philadelphia Eagles, you're loving this, right? You know, the Cowboys are a train wreck. You got the McLaurin situation in Washington. Washington's schedule is a lot harder. The Giants aren't a real threat to you. So and the Eagles are just going about their business right now. All right, so CFL football, the Hamilton Tiger Cats, dear God, all they do is win football games and find ways, and all Edmonton does is find ways to lose games, those poor fans that go to the games in Edmonton. But the Tie Cats do it again. They go on the road. It's almost like, you know, it's bound to happen, right? With 2 minutes left, I was like, oh, I'm done. I'm going to lose by half a point here. This is just great. And lo and behold, and how about that too, guys? I don't know if you saw the Julian dude drop the touchdown. They could have won the game. It was a perfect pass from Fajardo. And that's what Edmonton does, though. A mistake here and a mistake there. And it cost them these football games. But now you got the BC Lions going to Hamilton. And let's be real, BC are an average football team this year. They have a lot of flaws. I've never seen an effing team in the CFL punt as much from midfield as Buck Pierce and the BC Lions do. They're so conservative. And every time the same thing happens, they punt on 3rd-and-2 from the 50, and it takes about 2 plays, and the other team's at the 50 again. And the other team scores, and it's inevitable. And it's happened like 10 times this year, if not more. Yet he does it over and over and over again. BC are getting 3.5 at Hamilton, total 56.5. Edmonton Elks are in Montreal. And what the hell happened on Saturday night, Mo, in Montreal? They're laying 4.5 points only. That's all you need to know. The odds makers don't trust Montreal anymore. 4.5 point favorites against the visiting Edmonton Elks. And, you know, Fajardo is going to have a chip on his shoulder in this one. Total 51.5. Red Blacks get 2.5. They're coming off a win against the Argos, who got beat up on Friday. And then the Bombers get 5 against Calgary. What are your CFL thoughts, Mo?
I think Hamilton is starting to show that they might be a team to to watch out for in the East, the way that they've been winning these late games, almost like that they had the luck on their side with these last two wins they had against BC and Edmonton. I think Montreal is in a tailspin right now with their quarterback position. Can they still buy time and allow Davis Alexander to heal up and get himself ready to go just probably after Labor Day, I would imagine. But not only that, though, they're suffering injuries at all key positions. No Philpott, no Austin Mack to work with. Marc-Antoine Decroix got hurt on Saturday, along with the center as well. So the Justin Lawrence, that is. So they're missing some key leadership foundation pieces on the field here. And you get an Edmonton team, again, as you made the point before, Gabe, right? They're close but not finishing off games here. And a Cody Fajardo character who's going to have a chip on his shoulder trying to show to the Montreal administration that you passed on me for Davis Alexander. He's watched me throw touchdowns against your defense. So I think Edmonton will definitely make things tough for Montreal on Friday. But I'll keep this in mind, though. September 6th, guys, right? Hamilton, Montreal. If Hamilton wins that football game, they probably win the division and host the East Final at Tim Hortons Field, wherever it's called now, in mid-November.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
I think it's still Tim Hortons.
Yeah, it is Tim Hortons. Yeah, it's got to be Tim Hortons. Yeah,
it's not Dunkin' Donuts.
I'll say this, Gabe. BC, though, they've lost two close ones. Could have beat the Riders. Should have beat Hamilton. This could be a spot. Maybe getting on the road. Hamilton feeling good about themselves, but betting against Hamilton hasn't been a recipe for success. But I'm going to take the Lions at 3.5 I got on my book right now. I think they'll win this game.
No, it hasn't. And I've lost, like, I don't know, 3-4 weeks in a row. I keep betting against Hamilton, and they keep on winning at the last minute. Looking at the Grey Cup future odds right now, the Rough Riders are favored at +275.
They're good.
They are damn good football. They're a physical team. They run the ball. If I was a CFL coach, I would run the ball all the time. I would just, you know, all these teams have a hard time stopping the run, but no one really runs the ball in this league. I'd run the ball. I'd get two running backs even. The old Drummond and Millington, like BC. But Rough Riders +275. Ticats +300. Alouettes +350. Stampeders +375. Bombers 9-1. BC Lions 16-1. Argos 16. Red Blacks 40. And the Elks, it doesn't matter. It could be 2 trillion to 1. Like,
donations.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
They're 100-1.
Just from a betting perspective, I'll tell you what. The BC Lions, they're probably going to make the playoffs. 16-1. Thing in the CFL, it's still too early. That's the whole thing in the CFL. You can't say, oh, this team's looking good or this team's looking whatever. Man, the playoffs are in November. You make the playoffs, you get hot. Injuries happen. Strange things happen. It's all about who's hot then, not now. It's way too early. So just from a betting perspective, yes, I would say the Lions is 16-1, and hell, the Ottawa Redblacks at 40-1. They get into the playoffs, yep. You know, who knows? Maybe they knock off like Montreal in a playoff game, and then they go to Hamilton. But I wouldn't. You can't take any of these teams at +275 or +300, right now in the CFL, just because the CFL. The best teams often don't win in the CFL. It's just one of those random leagues like that.
Good call, Gabe. And I'm seeing 18-1 for BC on FanDuel. We're not even like, look, they play. We talk about Saskatchewan at +270. They lost a six-point game to the Rough Riders, okay? They've been in every single damn game. They're going to get better. And you're right. How do you take a team at 3-1? Sure, Saskatchewan looks like they're the best team, but +270, that's a horrible number. It's unbettable. And we've talked about this before. You get in there, you got a team with high number, Gabe. In the CFL, bam, next thing you know, we're there. You're in a situation where, oh, my God, these guys can win it. It's a nine-team league. So I think BC at that price is good. And I like where you're going with Ottawa. Like Edmonton, no, but 40-1 is a damn good price if they can sneak in.
I wouldn't touch Ottawa, though. They still have issues.
They have major issues.
They beat Calgary twice this year, right? And look, they're a team that is undisciplined. And Cam, you know, we spoke about this a few weeks ago. They're undisciplined. They get out-coached, out-foxed by opposing coaches that they've gone up against. And we'll find out these next 2-3 weeks for Ottawa if they're going to be in that conversation by Labor Day. But I'll say this, though, about BC. You're absolutely right, Cam, about the fact they've been very close in games this year, a lot of missed tackles, and probably more conservative with the offensive philosophy. But if they do qualify for the playoffs, they probably come in as a crossover team playing in the East playoffs than anything else, because I don't think Toronto or Ottawa have enough horsepower to get into the playoffs. I know it's August, but I don't think they're convincing enough to be in that position by mid-November.
No, if you're BC, you need to be better than Ottawa and Toronto. That's your main mission right now, because the West, and who knows with Calgary too. Like, Calgary could go into a tailspin. Like I said, it's a long-ass season. 18 games is a real marathon. Mo Khan in Montreal. Great stuff, Mo. Thanks for stepping up. We'll catch up with you next week as the football starts to get realer and realer. Have a great week, Mo.
You too, guys. Have a great week. We'll speak soon.
There's Mo Khan with us. Mo's the man. Mo's the man. Very versatile. Play-by-play. Played college football. Even did some weather forecast before. Yeah. Meteorology. So very, very deep resume. All right, we're waiting on George Kurtz to step up and in and join us. And I look forward to seeing if Kurtz's TV viewing habits included WKRP in his earlier years. As Lonnie Anderson has passed away, let's bring George Kurtz in. George, how you doing, George?
Doing well. And saw that last night while my wife and I were binging Mobland. The first thing I said to my wife is, Lonnie Anderson passed away. And she said, who? Wife didn't know, but I am well aware. WKRP was one of my favorite, probably my first favorite comedy.
Yeah, it was a great, great show, and very realistic from a radio station perspective.
Great call, Gabe.
As well. I worked at a lot of stations. The one that reminded me the most of WKRP would be the Team 990 in Montreal. Instead of Mr. Carlson, it was Mr. Hamilton. And it was like a nice,
Who's your drunk sales guy? Or like Herb Tarlick.
Every radio station has that sort of, there's often like the nice old dude that's the owner. And there's usually a hot secretary that really like only deals with the boss type of deal. You got your sleazeball salespeople. You got your eccentric sort of DJs. Like, they really did nail it. And like Johnny Fever was almost like a real DJ. Like, he was like an influence on a lot of people. But rest in peace to Lonnie Anderson. And as I stated, George, I don't know if you knew this, she was married to Burt Reynolds for a long time. I think they got divorced, but married to Burt Reynolds.
I certainly knew they had dated on and off. But I knew they actually married, that I'm not going to tell you I absolutely knew, but I knew they were a couple off and on for a while. I said, Burt Reynolds, one of my favorite actors growing up, right? Love Smokey and the Bandit. Movies that he was in, City Heat, another one of my favorite comedies with Clint Eastwood.
Cannonball Run.
Oh, Cannonball Run's a classic. And now you got that song going through my head now. The intro.
Dom DeLuise.
Dom DeLuise, Dean Martin.
Joe Klecko.
Roger Moore.
Joe Klecko.
Right, Joe Klecko is in it. I mean, it's a fantastic flick. The outtakes at the end. At the end of the movie, during the credits, so they do the screw up is hilarious. It's absolutely hilarious.
A bunch of legends, SMO. Like icons in that, where they just had fun. It was a dumb movie, but it was just sort of like a bunch of icons. Like you said, they all had a lot of fun doing it. And Adrian Barbeau's breasts at the time were very popular. That was like that.
Who was the other one with Adrian Barbeau?
Popular.
She was even hotter.
That's amazing.
The other woman with Adrian Barbeau in the Maserati.
Off the top of my head, no. Who's in the car with her?
I don't think she was a big actress, but she was smoking hot too.
Those are good days. Like I was tweeting about the movie Night Shift other day, because it was the anniversary of it, and people don't realize like how, I don't know if you saw the picture I posted, Kurtz, of how smoking hot Shelley Long was at the time.
Oh, big time.
I saw the picture. I saw
her body. Her body was killer. Cheers, but yeah, she's looked good.
Yeah.
Like it was before Cheers, before she was on Cheers. Happy Days was already on, so it was the Fonz, post-Fonz era. And Michael Keaton wasn't that big yet. I guess he was just sort of starting to break out in Hollywood. But great movie and just another sort of script that would be a tough sell now if you walked into a studio. And you would say, listen, we got two dudes. One of them is like works in a morgue, and we're going to run an escort service out of the morgue. It's going to be with the Fonz, Michael Keaton, and the girl from Cheers. Right? Like, it's just sort of a weird... Right, but man, the 80s movies, like the late 70s and 80s movies were just great compared to today. And you can also...
Are you guys going to go see Naked Gun, the new one?
Yeah, actually, I am going to, George. I haven't been to the theater in so damn long. I got to make a move. I got to see this movie. It's actually... I've heard some good things, actually, from like people I respect.
I won't go.
I heard it was good
the
first third, then it gets real quick.
Oh, yeah.
Real dumb, real quick. But I heard they're also
the type of movie I'm going to go into a theater for, like you said, Kurtz. That's more... Everything is on demand at home.
It's true.
Weeks.
I just want to get out of the house, Gabe, and see people. That's all I can see. And if there is laughs in the movie, at least you're laughing together with a few people. I'd say it's a good movie to go to if you're going to go. But you're right. It'll be on Netflix tomorrow.
I haven't seen the Happy Gilmore movie yet. That's something I still want to see. That's on Netflix.
Yeah.
I have Netflix. I just haven't gotten around to watching it yet. But they had 47 million people watch it like in its first couple of days, which was
that's huge.
What'd you say, Kurtz? You heard it's terrible.
I heard it's pretty bad. These people who are Happy Gilmore fans. I'm not a Happy Gilmore. I've seen the movie, but I don't care. I've seen the first one. I didn't see this one, and I have Netflix. I'll get around.
I'm in the same ballpark where I'm not like a Happy Gilmore like super fan or anything like that. It was all right, whatever. You know what I mean? But I'm not like some sort of. It's not like biblical or gospel to me. Nope. Mobland's good though, Kurtz. You're watching Mobland. That is a good show.
Just finished it last night, man. That was, when I say finished, we finished about 5 o'clock in the morning, and we're not usually staying up that late, but that's how much we got into it that we wanted to finish it last night. That was good. That was very interesting.
It is one of those shows that you really don't know what's going to happen next.
What's it comparable to, Gabe? Like, I've never heard of Mobland. Like, it's, what is it, like Sopranos?
Yeah, I mean, well, it's kind of speaks for itself. It's like, yeah, it's about two London crime syndicates, one family, and then one sort of like rebel type dude. They're two gang syndicates fighting for power over the London underworld. Cool. But it's the cast that gets it done, right? Helen Mirren and Pierce Brosnan is he's freaking good, Pierce Brosnan. So is Helen Mirren. She's over the top, Helen. Like,
Helen Mirren's way over the top.
She's one of the best actresses of all time.
Yeah, but she just sort of went like over the top character like with it. Yeah. She was like, all right, you want me to be an evil bitch? I'll be an evil bitch. And she's almost like a wrestling character. It's over the top. Yeah, no, it's great acting. Like, it's very, very it's a fun show. Very, very good.
They enjoy the C word quite a bit in England, I see.
Yeah, the language is unique. Some people have a hard time understanding what they're saying at first.
It takes an episode. It took me an episode before I could get down to the
Because they don't dumb it down. Like, they're going all real Cockney, and like, it's a British show, and they're not like, oh, we better speak clearer for slow Americans. They're like, no, we're going full speed with this. Yeah, good show. All right, Kurtz, what wasn't such a good show for your Yankees over the weekend? Ugh. First time ever that the Marlins swept the Yankees in franchise history. Man, I've left a lot of money on the table with this Marlin team this year because they've been one of the best teams to bet on over the last, like, 6 weeks, 2 months or whatnot. And I rarely take them, I'll be honest. But we kind of knew the Yankees were going to struggle without Judge. It's kind of even worse, though, Kurtz, isn't it? Like, how you feel about the Yankees? I remember I told you about, I don't know, 2-3 weeks ago that it wouldn't shock me if they didn't make the playoffs. And then we looked at the teams, and it was like, well, Texas or a Cleveland or a Kansas City or something are going to have to be the ones to get them. And that's still the same scenario there. But how do you feel about the Yankees moving forward now?
It was an ugly weekend. I don't think there's any way other way of describing that. I had bought back in, Gabe, because the moves they made. All right, you get Bednard, you get Doval, you get Bird. Okay, maybe they may not be the top of the heap here, but that fixes a problem. The bullpen was a major problem for the Yankees, and then they gave up 9 runs. I feel like the principal from Ferris Bueller. 9 runs on Friday night. 9 runs. It was unbelievable. And then Caballero misses the ball in the outfield. That directly leads to the loss there. Another addition there. Saturday, you have Jazz Chisholm getting thrown out of first base on the pop-up and then defends it. And then Boone defends him. It's like, you got to be kidding me with this team. It's just a complete joke here. I guess yesterday was the regular loss here. Judge, they say, will be back Tuesday or Wednesday.
Just a regular loss, you say. Instead of a Bad News Bears type of loss.
Right. It's a regular loss.
That's the thing that it's compound and it's easy to say, well, you know, they don't play defense very well. They don't run the bases very well. But it's almost like a game, a daily thing, Kurtz, where there's an egregious mistake. I mean, last week, somebody didn't know how many, who was it? Was it Wells? He didn't know how many outs there
Wells.
Were. Yeah, he didn't know how many outs there were. He's running around the base.
In the ninth inning.
Gets doubled up. Yeah. He's clueless. There's constant base running gaffes. There's constant defensive gaffes and mistakes. And people always talk about the analytics of it, but like they don't know how to play baseball, Kurtz. This is their problem. They're just not a very good baseball team. You know what I mean? They don't know how to play the sport. It's kind of baffling. Like, if they were a basketball team. team, like, they wouldn't hit free throws. You know what I mean? It'd be like this. It's a miracle they've won as many games as they have, Kurtz, considering how bad they actually are as a baseball team.
There are two things. The Yankees were so offended and so upset with the Los Angeles Dodgers last year. Joe Kelly and I think it was Enrique Hernandez who made fun of them or really came out and criticized them for all the errors they made. I thought what the Dodgers did was classless, but they weren't wrong, right? They weren't wrong. The Yankees, that is. And something I've said, you've probably heard me say this a lot of times about the Yankees. The Yankees don't beat teams because they play better than them. They beat teams because they are better than them. They just have better players. They can overcome all these mistakes. Well, guess what? They're not better than a lot of teams now. They can't overcome all these mistakes they're making. You have a manager. The Yankees and the Cowboys are the same because you have a manager and a GM who just protect you. Go ahead. Oh, it's okay. You know, don't worry about it. No one's scolding anybody. No one's benching anybody, right? Jerry does the same thing with the Cowboys. Anybody's mad at Schottenheimer, they'll just run to Jerry. No, it's okay. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. You know, they're not a very well-run baseball team. We know that. They're hoping when Judge comes back on Tuesday or Wednesday, he's going to fix everything. Yet they're going to put Stanton in right field. Don't tell me you care about defense if you're going to put Stanton in right field who can't move.
That's a disaster.
That's exactly. That's a nightmare waiting to happen here. So they're going to do that. And by the way, boys and girls, Judge wasn't hitting before the injury. So they're hoping now the 10, 12 days off, he's going to all of a sudden be magically and be Judge again. What if he takes a couple of weeks to figure it out again? You know, the saving grace for the Yankees, they have 16 games left against Washington, Chicago White Sox, and some other terrible team, maybe Pittsburgh.
Hey, the White Sox are winning ball games, and we got you're not your
that was
team,
the other point.
My team.
I don't know if they can beat them.
That's the thing. We got to worry about the Red Sox. The Red Sox are on like absolute fire, like Milwaukee. Gabe, like look at these
Yankees
guys.
Have to
11
worry
games.
About Texas and Seattle. Yes. What was Gabe's first thing? I don't know if the Yankees gonna make the playoffs. I don't think they do unless things turn around dramatically. I don't think they make the playoffs. Too many teams right there with them.
I told people like a month ago when the when the Blue Jays were getting hot, I said the Blue Jays are getting hot, but watch out for the Red Sox. The Red Sox are going to go on a run too. You could just sort of see it. Their schedule lined up. They played a bunch of bad teams and they got it going, but so did the Blue Jays. Right, the Blue Jays sort of big streak started. I think they played 4 against the A's. They took 3 or 4, and then it was like the White Sox or whatever and the Rockies. Like, they took care of business against bad teams. In baseball, that's what you got to do. You beat the bad teams, and you split against the good teams, and you'll have a good record. And
it's concerning, though, Gabe. Like, look what the Blue Jays do, though, recently. I know they have injuries. Kirk's hurt, and he's a big part of that team. Springer, these two guys with concussions, but the Kansas City Royals come into town, they take 2 of 3, and the Jays lost 2 of 3 to the Athletics. Like, the things that they were doing before, I know it was a great, great hot streak, but they're also losing games and finding ways to lose these games and not winning series, and you talked about this before. You get 2 out of 3, that's great, but now they're getting going 1 and 2, 1 and 2, 1 and 2. That's a concern, and these guys, the Red Sox, are only 3 games back. There's a lot of baseball left.
I think the Red Sox are the best bet now from the current odds. Right, coming into the year, I had a piece of the Blue Jays to win 11-1. I thought the Red Sox were going to be better than the Blue Jays this year, but I thought they were both going to be good. The updated division odds now, the Blue Jays are -160, so there's no value betting now whatsoever. The Yankees are plus 250 right now. That's a tough bet at those odds. Red Sox plus 450. Hell, the Rays are 125-1, but they've kind of fallen off the track a little bit. But the Red Sox are plus 450 now. American League West. I've bought in. I'm buying in on this Mariners team. Every day, they're a smaller price, though, guys. The Astros are now minus 145, Mariners plus 175, Rangers plus 750. Who would you bet on, Kurtz, at these odds right now to win the American League West?
You know me. I'm on the Mariners. Been on them for a while now. Love what they did at the deadline here. I love that rotation. They'll get Bryce Miller back. Bryce Miller, who's a good pitcher, is probably the number five starter for them. Think about that. Woo, Gilbert, Kirby, Castillo. Love what the Mariners have done here. Good bullpen as well. I think.
And Rodriguez, Kurtz. Rodriguez, who, you know, hasn't been killing it, now has more protection in the lineup.
Yep.
And I expect him to have a strong finish now. And he gets criticized, but he also became the only player ever, right, to four straight years with the 2020 stuff. So just let you know, the body of work isn't done yet. I think he's only going to get better. Guys, I think the Mariners are going to win the American League and go to the World Series. I think they're going to go to the World Series for the first time in franchise history. You could just sort of feel it. Like, the atmosphere in their stadium, it's sheer, like, hunger. Like, it's just a different level of desperation and anticipation they have there now, Kurtz.
I 1,000% agree with you. Said it on In Game Live yesterday. I think Seattle's the best team in the American League. Toronto, a step behind. I think those teams, as we don't know how the playoffs are going to work out, but I think those teams are destined to meet each other, hopefully in the ALCS, because I think they are the two best. Seattle's the one team, of all the teams that did everything they did during the trade deadline, they don't have an obvious weakness, right? They've got the good pitching. They've got the good hitting now. They do play the game correctly here. The Yankees needed another starter. All right. I thought the Blue Jays pretty much don't have an obvious weakness either. Maybe another reliever they could have gone. The Mets needed another starter. Dodgers needed bullpen help. Cubs needed to do something there. So I think the Seattle was the one team that sort of, you know, they filled in all the slots here. So I love where you're going with the Seattle Mariners. I 1,000% agree. I think this is their year. And it comes down to, if this isn't the year, when are you going to do it? It's a watered-down American League. It's not all that great here. You've got the pitching. You've got the hitting now with Naylor and Suarez. And Suarez really hasn't even done it. I know it's been a couple of games here, but he hasn't really done anything yet. Naylor's actually been good, stealing a ton of bases. How's this guy stealing bases, by the way? But he is. But I love the Mariners. I'm right there with you. Mariners, the best team in the American League.
I got to tell you guys, this is very competitive. Normally, it isn't this competitive in baseball with 2 months left in the season. When you look at the odds, four of the six divisions, you know, are bettable right now. You could argue the Dodgers are overpriced, only up a three spot. They're 10-1 right now. All right, so the National League Central is basically a pick 'em right now. The Brewers are minus 115 to win. The Cubs are plus 100. Who wins the Central, Cam? The Cubs or the Brewers?
I like the Brewers. I think they're peaking at the right time. I like their staff. I like a lot of things about these guys. Their offense has been on fire. They're scoring tons of runs. The Cubs are very good, but in my opinion, I think the Brewers are a little bit better. We always count these guys out. You said it, Gabe. It's straight pick 'em on my side, 10 cents either way. I lean with the Brewers. I think they're going to take the Central.
What do you think, Kurtz? Who would you bet on to win the Central?
Are we a little worried about the Brewers' injuries, right? They lost Churio. He may not play in all of August. They just lost Mizorowski. He also likely out all of August. I mean, those two injuries alone, before the injuries, I would have said Brewers, no doubt here. Now I probably do lean a little bit towards the Cubs, but I know I wouldn't bet it. I think it's going to be close here. I am very disappointed in the Cubs. They didn't make that big move at the deadline. Mm-hmm. I told you guys, I thought they were the team. Them in Detroit, this is your year, right? You know, your bigger market teams, you were big market teams, whether you want to admit it or not. Go out and make that big splash move. Go out and get Alcantara. Go out and get Edward Cabrera, Gallen, whatever you need. I thought they needed a number two starter here, yet they didn't. So very disappointed in the Cubs. A little bit of a letdown there. Like, you would have asked me this question a week ago. I'm all on the Brewers. Now with the injuries here, I think it's going to hurt them. Do they have enough to overcome that? With the lead here, probably is still the Brewers here, but I would bet on the Cubs.
Yeah, I'm not going to call it a best bet because it's a real toss-up, obviously, guys, but I would take the Cubs as well. There's sort of ebbs and flows to this. I think the Brewers are hot now, but I still think the Cubs have another run in them, and then suddenly, you know, the Cubs will become favorites. The National League East, another one. The Phillies, minus 140. The Mets, plus 110. Kurtz, Phillies or Mets?
Are you scouring the web for the best Black Friday and Cyber Monday deals? Stop it. Get Rakuten. Rakuten is a shopping sidekick that gets you cash back on your gifts for everyone on your list. Right now, you can get up to 15% cash back at the stores you love. You can even stack cash back on top of the biggest sales of the year. That's savings on savings. It's more time shopping and less time searching. With Rakuten, you're always saving at your favorite stores on the things you're already buying. Cashback is automatically added to your account as you shop, and you get paid with gift cards, PayPal, or check. Or eligible American Express card members can even choose to earn membership rewards points instead of cash back. It's truly a no-brainer. Now's the time to join. Up to 15% cash back ends on December 2nd. Plus, new members will receive a welcome bonus after minimum qualifying purchases. Go to Rakuten.com, download the app, or install the browser extension. That's Rakuten. Terms and conditions apply.
Extra Value Meals are back. For just $5, get a savory and sweet sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles, plus hash browns and a coffee. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
Mets are another team. You made a bunch of good moves at the deadline. You needed at least one starting pitcher there. I don't see how they're winning with Senga, who doesn't seem to be able to go deep into the game. Manaea, Peterson, nice guys, but I just don't think that can win you a division. I love what Philadelphia did. I thought they needed to do another bullpen piece. Love the addition of Duran, who's going to really solidify things there, and you see them playing it up there. I think Philadelphia with Sanchez, Suarez, Wheeler, Lizardo, love what they've done there. I don't think Philly's problem is during the regular season. Their problem seems to be the offense disappears in the playoffs. You know, but I do think they win the National League East.
Speaking of the playoffs, we were talking about the Marlins, and they've had a hell of a run, this Marlin team, but can they keep it up? They've won 8 of their last 10. They're on a 5-game win streak right now, and they have a 500 record only. They're 6 games back of the wild card. So let me ask you, Kurtz, is the wild card, is this already decided, or do you think a Cincinnati, San Francisco, or a Miami can go on a run? Not easy to make up that many games. And the teams that are ahead of them are pretty good. San Diego are good. The Mets are good. And the Cubs are good.
That's the problem. Who are we taking out? Cubs, Mets, Padres. Who are we taking out?
You talk about it's not like there's also bad teams ahead of you where it's like, okay, don't thing. Worry about it. It's like, well, the Mets are freaking good, right? And the Cubs are very good. And San Diego are stacked. So I don't see it. I can't make the argument that one of those teams makes it.
But I'm happy for the Marlins, by the way, because we know they have the pitching, and now they're hitting some, right? Stowers is a good hitter there. Edwards, so maybe they add a little.
They got good Pittsburgh. Young players, George. A lot of young guys that are really showing up and like doing damage. Like
that trade, Rodgers for Stowers, really working out for both teams, right? Rodgers is good for Baltimore. Stowers good for Miami.
How's their management going to screw this up, though? You know exactly. They're good. Like that's the thing about the Marlins. They're just getting good with their young talent, Gabe, and then they'll go, okay, bye. We'll just be happy. Oh, we got to pay somebody. That's the problem with these guys. They're too tight, even though they got talent.
But to answer your question, I think the National League's done. I think we know the six teams that are going to get in.
If I had to say one team, but they're going to go over their win total on the year. They're plus 500 right now. They had 4 games over 500, guys.
Reds.
But the Reds, Kurtz.
Yeah, that's all
right. Kurtz, they just can't. You know what I mean? They'll win. They'll take a series or they'll win 2 series in a row. And, hey, we're 4-2 in our last 6. But then they'll go 1-2. Like, they're just hovering above 500. You know what I mean, Kurtz? Like, they just haven't gone on that extra run yet. Like, do they have it in them? That's the one team I'd say, you know what? Maybe the Reds. They got the players to do it, Kurtz. But once again, we're back to, I don't think they're better than those 3 teams that are ahead of them.
By 4 games. It's not one game out there. And I got a ticket on the Reds, all right, to make the playoffs. I'm on the Francona of Tito bandwagon here. But you just said it. Are they 4 games better than the Padres, Mets, or Cubs? You know, who's going to implode here? I don't think it's going to be the Cubs or the Padres. The Mets with that bullpen, probably not. They should win their share of games, too. I just don't see it here that they'll get in. It's just like I said, I still like the bet here, but I just don't see how they're 4 games better. I think their team, once again, they keep it up next year. They'll be a team we're going to talk about if they keep adding to it. But I don't think they can get 4 games better than those 3 teams. So I think they might be the number one team losing out.
Man, De La Cruz is a fun player to watch, though. What did you think, Kurtz, did you watch it? I saw some of it on Saturday night, and it was just pouring at Bristol Motor Speedway. And there were puddles, and obviously they stopped the game. But they played the game on Sunday. There was hardly anybody there after. It was a horrible experience for people, not just because it rained, you know, it was raining, which they can't control. So people like are getting mad. What the hell are you going to do? That happens. You know how many times I've spent like $1,200 going to F1 race and it rains on me? Like, it is what it is. It's like you can't stop the weather, but it was pretty ridiculous. They ran out of beer before the game started. They didn't. They were selling wieners, Cam, without buns. They were selling nachos without cheese. Like, they didn't have cheese, so they just had the cheap, like, nacho chips.
They were selling wieners without buns.
Yeah.
That's
disgusting, by the way. You need to have the bun in the wiener.
Yes.
No nachos or cheese, then they're just stupid freaking tortilla chips. This is a disaster. But
they ran out of beer in the first inning.
The NASCAR crowd, what were unlimited trays? Like, what's the deal? How do you have not beer? It got
so bad yesterday. Baseball actually gave fans permission to bring their own food and drink it, but not alcohol.
Oh, that kind of changes the whole perspective. But yeah, it's
Pepsi. I like the venue. I like when they do stuff like that.
It looked
that,
good on TV, though. Hey, Kurt, it was fun watching on TV.
I liked it.
Well, it was fun. It could have been a lot funner. I had quite a bit on Cincinnati, and it was going real well Saturday night. George. All right, I love the Saturday
like
night.
How the game started, right? Base hit. Yeah.
Everything went downhill on Sunday with Cincinnati didn't show up here. Now, ball that almost went out in the ninth. Man, what a tease there! But I love that when they play, you know, the Field of Dreams, Rickard Field last year. Now they do this. I kind of like that kind of stuff. I thought they did a good job, and it looked good.
I actually watched the whole game, which is, you know, why? You know what I mean? You know what I mean? I actually watched the whole game. I started watching it, and I was like, yeah, it's fun. Like, you know, I felt bad for the fans and went through the experience, but that's what happens, right? You put so much into one day and you just got to hope it doesn't rain, but sometimes it does. But I'm not going to hold it against them for trying. It looked cool on TV. All right, so the football season has begun. Fantasy football season's here. And later in the week, Kurtz, let's do some fantasy football talk. I'll get your thoughts on the preseason rankings and who you think are some of the sleepers coming into this season. I'm ready to go. I'm excited. I'm excited for fantasy football and NFL football, of course, began. Trey Lance, guys, I told everybody coming into this that Trey Lance is having a great camp, and so much so that the thinking is in Los Angeles that Trey Lance is going to be the backup quarterback. You look at Jim Harbaugh, what he did, you know what I mean? What's different about Lance and Kaepernick? Kaepernick's faster, but like, has Harbaugh ever had a bad quarterback? No. You know what I mean? Like, he either has a gunslinger, like he had Andrew Luck in Stanford, where he didn't have to coach up, but he just sort of, you know, helped, but he didn't have to coach up. He's got Justin Herbert, who I think is slightly overrated, but he's a damn good quarterback. Just I saw like preseason rankings and stuff, and they're like Herbert, the fifth best quarterback. I'm like, how the hell do you have Herbert ahead of Jalen Hurts? Jalen Hurts gets so disrespected, I see, by the media and by these rankings and even the Madden stuff and all that. But so this Thursday we have three preseason games. The Indianapolis Colts, 4-point favorites against the Baltimore Ravens. A Raven team that always wins in the preseason are getting 4 points against the Colts. Colts have that healthy quarterback battle going on. Total 36. The Bengals, 3.5-point favorites at the Eagles. Total 36. It's the one time in our lives we're going to see a Bengal total at 36, guys. And the Raiders and Cam Seahawks. It's a fun little preseason tilt. Seattle Seahawks at home against the visiting Las Vegas Raiders. The Seahawks are +2 points. Total 36. You're going to take the Seahawks, Cam?
I'm worried. Pete Carroll's coaching against his old team that he wants. It's like this is kind of like it's a preseason game. Yeah, we fired not me. That's right. You fired him. Anyway,
yeah, it didn't end nicely. That's the whole thing I was going to say. Like, they fired him. Like,
oh, they fired
him. He didn't see it coming. Like, they called him in. He thought he was going in for a meeting. Like, yeah, hey, you know what I mean? And like, they fired him. No. He'll be fired up for this, even though it's a preseason game.
I would take the Raiders in this spot.
Geno's not going to be.
There's a lot of things. Geno's probably, get me in here. Come on. Give me some reps there, coach. Yeah, no, I would say the Raiders have a lot of incentive.
He might play a series because of that. Who knows?
Exactly.
It's early in the week. We'll break down the rotations a little bit later on. You got the Browns and the Panthers, Lions and Falcons. So, yeah, it's off and running, guys. I see the Buffalo Bills play the New York Giants. The Bills are 2.5-point favorites. the Bills guys, not quite on a Ravens run, but McDermott's been really good in the preseason over the last couple of years. The Bills used to be bad in the preseason, but they're pretty deep, the Bills. Like, their backups are good, and the backups to the backups are pretty good on the Bills. So they've become a pretty good preseason team. All right, Kurtz, you know I had to bring this up. We spoke last week, but it seems like every time we talk, it gets worse. Last time we spoke, a couple hours after we spoke, Micah Parsons said, I don't want to be here anymore. and now, pretty much every day, Steven or Jerry Jones are saying something stupid to offend him. And now they brought Dez Bryant's name into this. And in what world, I'll ask you, Kurtz, the Cowboy guy here, in what world does Jerry Jones think it's all right to badger players and try to negotiate deals with players when they have an agent, George? Like, if I'm the NFLPA, like, it's not right. Like, Jerry Jones, like, basically, like, corners players in a cafeteria and tries to cut deals with them. Like, it doesn't work that way, Kurtz. And it's not even funny anymore, Kurtz. Like, you guys have a chance. Like, you got Dak back. You bring in Pickens. You got Lamb, who's paid. Like, just pay Parsons his money. Life is hard enough without causing your own problems in your own room like this. It's not even funny anymore, Kurtz. It's actually, like, pathetic. And you're doomed for life, because you can tell Steven is going to be the same owner as Jerry will be after. Like, Kurtz, you should almost find a new team, Kurtz, like, at this point.
You should almost find a new
become
team.
Become a Bills fan.
Room with Buffalo. See us. We need more fans, George.
It's funny you should mention all of that, but by the way, you're right on everything you said. I mean, I don't disagree with anything. I was talking to my wife the other day. You know, I'm going to be 56 in a couple of weeks. And I told her, you know what? I don't know if any of my teams are going to win another championship before I leave this earth. All right. The Islanders are forever. Yankees, I guess, theoretically are closest, but they're a mess. And the Cowboys, it's not happening on the Jones. It's just not. He's
no, George. You got some, like, there's still quality organizations. I wouldn't say.
Jones, you're not a Knicks fan, too. It's good you're not a basketball fan, because the Knicks just killed their fans, too, bro.
Exactly. He'll already be in the ground if he's a Knicks fan. I thought
the point is, now I listen to I read a lot of the Dallas writers, Todd Archer, Calvin Watkins, John Machado. These guys all follow the Cowboys. And they say they can only think of one other team that has done what Jerry does, and it's probably what he's modeling it after, and that's the New England Patriots. Kraft has been one known to do that, or Belichick's been one to do that, where they corner players and try to get a deal done without agents. Oh, that it's not done in the NFL. It's a clown. As Lewis Riddick said, it's a clown show. It's an absolute clown show. You don't do that. Right? And by the way, Micah told him right away. We all remember reading it. Back, what was it, March, whenever it was, that, hey, you got to talk to my agent. And Jones didn't want to talk to his agent. Who? Who's your agent? Who? He didn't. Like, he acted like he didn't know who the agent was, even though the agent's a major agent. You know, so, you know.
And Jerry's picking trying a to, fight, picking a fight with Roc Nation and Jay-Z isn't the way to go either.
No, not smart.
You know, like, it's just, that's just dumb. And then, like, bringing Dez Bryant into it. You know what I mean? Like, so what, now you're going to piss off, you're going to alienate former players as well? And like Dez said last night, he said, don't bring my name into this, Jerry. And you saw it, George. He said, listen, I'm sitting on a lot of stuff I could blow wide open. I could tell you all a lot of stuff about the Dallas Cowboys, but I don't. Right? Like, dude, like, I don't know what Jerry, like, dude, he's getting worse, not better. That's my point. I mean, you figure as he gets older, he'd say, you know what? I want to win. I'm going to chill out here, and we're going to try to win, and then I'll talk all the smack on the way out. No. He's going out like he's Ric Flair or something like that.
The way he looks at it is that this is all you're talking about. Everyone's talking about the Cowboys. It's free money. And he thinks that free money is worth more than the extra $8 million.
Mo said the same thing earlier. He likes all the people are talking about us, right?
Yep.
But, George, there's a difference. People are laughing at them, though. We're not talking about them. We're laughing at you.
He doesn't care.
You know what I mean?
He just wants you talking about. He wants to be the face on TV. He wants all the questions, all the publicity that comes to him. He loves this stuff. He actually thinks that the publicity he's getting for all this is worth more than the $8 million extra per year he's going to have to pay Micah, right? Because he would have been signed with $34 million if he would have done it earlier. Now it's up to $42. So he thinks, that, you know, I'm making $20 million in publicity here. So it's worth it. He doesn't care about the salary cap. He does not care about winning. He cares about him. Making money, getting his face on TV, and, you know, just being, I guess, the focus point, literally the focus point of the Cowboys. It's not Dak. It's not Mike. It's not CD. It's Jerry freaking Jones. And he wants that more than anything. And you're right. He is getting worse. I don't think he's all there mentally. Certainly don't think he's all there mentally. Nobody says this many stupid things, and you're going to tell me he's back to what he was. He's not. But no one's stopping him. Steven's not stopping him. They're afraid of him. He has all the power, all the control. Listen, I wish I wasn't a Cowboy fan. I am, and I'm not going to change, by the way. I'm not going to be, I'm never going to watch the Cowboys again. That's not true. I'm a Cowboy fan. I got all sorts of Cowboy fan stuff up here.
If you're a fan, you're a fan.
Right. You're stuck. I'm just stuck with it. What am I going to do?
You know what you do, though? You just sort of temper your – it's like me with the Raptors. I love the Raptors, and I don't become a fan of another team, but I just sort of accept it, George, like for the last couple of years. We suck. You know what I mean? It is what it is, and hopefully we'll be good in a couple of years again, but we suck right now, and I won't get frustrated about it. And, you know, you're sort of, you're a fan of a couple of teams. I always sort of have a team of Michigan fans. So I got Michigan. I got the Dodgers, right? But, yeah, you're in a tough spot with the Yankees, the Islanders, and Cowboys.
It's a good thing you've I have DVDs of old games.
Yeah, you've had your glory.
I can watch the 90s Cowboys. I can watch Emmitt Smith and Trey, but I can put the DVD in and watch the old games here. Same thing with the Islanders and the Yankees. All my teams are a mess. They're just, I mean... To think what the Islanders went through when you had Spanos, who was a fake owner with no money, and yet the owners nowadays are worse, right? Jones is
the worst combo. The worst combo out of anyone I know is our boy Mathias. Mathias is the fan of the strangest teams, and he's diehard. He's a diehard Atlanta Falcon fan for whatever reason, which is nothing but pain. He's an LA Clipper fan.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Like, he loves the Clippers. Like, can you imagine, like, the combination? Fortunately, he has Argentina going for him.
What's his hockey team? The Ducks?
Yeah, the Anaheim Ducks.
I think it is the Ducks.
What a horrible, like, motley crew of teams there. Like, that's awful.
You give him credit. He lives in Los Angeles.
He's random.
He's from L.A., but he's not a Laker or King guy. He's like, no, Clippers and Ducks. Clippers
that's
and Ducks.
Right. Like, you know, Ducks.
He's not the cool teams. Like, no, Clippers and Ducks. And, I'll be a Falcon fan in football.
That's cool. I like his teams. They're very random.
Like Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan's his guy.
It makes sense because they maybe didn't have a football team with him growing up, right? Rams and Raiders weren't there, so I could see that. Yeah. What baseball team is he like? The Pirates?
What a combo. The Angels.
Angels,
okay, of course. That makes sense. Angels. He's not a diehard baseball guy, though. Like, that's sort of like lowest thought is. He seems to be sort of like just pro LA when it comes to baseball. You know what I mean? Like, he's not a diehard Dodger fan or Angel fan. So he cheers for them both. Which a lot of people used to do. It's sort of the modern fans that have gotten into this that they hate everything. All right. So we'll catch up with you later in the week, Kurt. So we'll hit some fantasy football talk as the fantasy football season is pretty much here, rapidly approaching. You know, it's time it's draft season right now. Yeah, it's not too early. I usually like to wait into the
When's your first draft?
My first draft? I've already had a draft. A couple of drafts, actually.
Kurt's is probably a lot of head drafts already.
We just reached August. Usually, this guy's amazing.
How many drafts have you done, Kurt? Let me guess. Yeah. I'm going to say you've already done
three.
Four.
Are we counting best ball leagues?
Sure.
Yeah.
Then it's way above four. All right. Wow. Best ball, I've done probably 15, 20 already. Those
are
leagues,
you just
draft, there's nothing you do. It's over. After the draft, you're done. You pay your money, and that's it. So I'll do those whenever I'm bored. I'll join a best ball league. just go draft. When my wife's working, the Yankees are off, okay, I'll play best ball. You know, but as far as real leagues, the ones you're talking about, I've drafted three so far. And I think now I have a break. To my next home league is on August 24th, but I have a draft with the boys from RotoWire, and I don't know when that starts. So it could be before that. August 24th is my next home league. My league, which has been around since 1988. This is year 37. That draft is August 27th.
That's what I was thinking, actually, for the sports range leagues. This upcoming weekend is my birthday, and I don't like doing fantasy football drafts when I'm hungover. I've done it before, and I don't have good teams, right? So I'm like, nah, it's a little early. I'm not doing the birthday.
I prefer people to be hungover when they draft.
Yeah, exactly. You do.
Yeah, dude, I've done fantasy football drafts in hotel rooms in Vegas and shoddy internet. Like, I'm trying to be more organized this year. The following weekend's a big weekend in Vancouver. There's a WNBA regular season game on the Friday night with the Storm and the Dream. Saturday, the Montreal Alouettes play the BC Lions. And I've never seen the Alouettes here. Like they said, they haven't come here. It was COVID, whatever. So it's the first time I'm going to see an Alouette in a BC Lion game here. And Thomas Mueller, big German superstar, just signed with the Vancouver Whitecaps. And his home debut is going to be August 17th. So August 16th, 17th, I'm going to go to a CFL game and an MLS game. Or at least I say I am. I say this every, like, all the time whenever they both play, and I never make it to the Sunday game. Like, God, I can't do this. Like, you know what I mean? But I'm going to try to pull it off this year. And then the following week, we have college football starts August 23rd. I think that's a good draft day. We'll watch that. We'll do the college football show the Saturday morning, and then Saturday have some NFL drafts, and maybe not Sunday and stuff, and can't wait. Like, so we're literally less than 3 weeks away now from the start of the college of football season, and the NFL season is here. And although no one gets excited about this, Cam, there is more golf, the FedEx Cup and all that, that whatever, no one really cares about besides the players that are playing for the money.
I think we lost Cam.
Yeah, Cam, you know what? He's our first, I look up and he's our first deletion. Pretty hard to drop out of this, Kurtz.
It's not me. Here we go. He's back. He's trying to get back anyway. There's Cam.
My power just went. My screen went pink with a lightning. Holy jeez, that was wild.
Pay your bill. Come on.
No, it's pretty hot, George. People are running their AC for like the last week. But I get these little thing. I'm so glad it was at the end. Wow. Okay.
And now we know what Cam's setup looks like. Look at that.
No, it's horrible.
All right, Cam. So FedEx Cup playoffs yes. This week, as I was saying. No one really cares about it besides the players, but it's something to bet on.
I do. It is something to bet on. Top 70 this week, St. Jude Classic, Gabe. Guys got to make a move. It's interesting, too. A lot of people, the storyline, other than Scottie Scheffler, obviously, is Keegan Bradley. He's the captain of the United States Ryder Cup team, and he's playing his way on the team. So another positive performance, he'll be there. But, Scheffler's like minus 160 for a top five this week. It's really a crazy number, almost like 2-1 to win. But, you know, you got to look at some other guys that need to advance. Hey, Cameron Young broke through. Maybe Tommy Fleetwood might be the guy this week. I was looking at him and a couple other straight ball hitters at this course. Not too long. Just got to keep it in play, buddy. But, this is interesting. Top 70 this week, and we whittle them down to top 30, and that's at Eastlake, the Tour Championship outside of Atlanta, Georgia.
We'll break it down later in the week. Great stuff, Kurt said. Speaking of preseason, guys, NHL preseason starts September 20th. So that's not far off, September 20th, really. A little more than a month until the NHL preseason starts, and then the regular season will be off and running. But it's that time of the year right now. Man, I love the fall. Baseball playoffs, NBA, NHL, football. That's my favorite time of the year. Late September, early October, when all the worlds start to collide. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Download it daily. Subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts. And we'll be back tomorrow with a Twisted Tuesday edition of the program. Thanks to MoCon, the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart, George Kurtz. Football is back. We'll hit some fantasy football later in the week. We'll start breaking down the college football, the conferences, win totals, and everything else in between. Other than that, you're on your own. Later. We'll be right back.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.